28. And I'm going to they'll read two scriptures out of the book of Ephesians when I get there. As we celebrate Resurrection Morning, it's a time that really is not just a time to celebrate now, but it's a time to, or future, but a time to celebrate now because of what resurrection does in our life. I think a lot of people don't understand the amazing power of resurrection, mainly because they think, well, if I die, I go to heaven. Really, what does the resurrection matter? I mean, if I'm already in heaven, why do I need to be resurrected? God intends for us to enjoy a resurrected body that enjoys all of the five senses and maybe even more to the fullest extent. And I don't know about you, I look forward to that day. But when you begin to understand that, you begin to understand that God has a power that he desires to be made manifest in your life, you find that if you come from being a person that is changed to a person who's being a change agent, what you find when that begins to happen is that the momentum of life has truly shifted. But for me, I think about the shifting of life or momentum changing, I go back to when I was in seventh grade, and one of the things I loved to do in seventh grade is I loved to play baseball. Baseball was just a sport that I really enjoyed. In fact, by the way, next week, we're going to start this Bring Hope Home series. So you have my permission to wear your favorite baseball jersey to church next Sunday. Everybody up here is going to have their favorite jersey on. I've got a new favorite jersey, and it's not the Rangers. But you'll have to, this, first of all, this is church, and you don't know what I'm wearing next week, so don't just assume. I've been here a year now. This will be 1 year. Today is 1 year, and I'm much more of a Texan today than I was, you know, when I showed up here ignorant of all the Texan ways and all that stuff. But when I was in seventh grade, I loved to play baseball, and I was playing first base. And in my mind, as I remember it, I made a decision that if this guy from shortstop throws me to the ball again, I'm not going to just wait for that ball to get to me. I'm going to be that good first baseman that really stretches out and gets the ball. And so I stretched out to get the ball. And the next thing I remember, there are people looking over me going, "Are you okay?" Next thing I know, the vice principal's over me going, "What's your name?" You see, momentum in that moment was found in a baseball bat that had left home plate and sailed from home plate to the side of my head at first base. Totally and completely knocked me out. Now, I know some of you are thinking, is that where he got his white spot? The answer is no. Okay? That's the other side of my head. I ended up going to the hospital, so on and so forth. But as I was thinking, I think a lot of times in life, you can have an event, something that happens to you that literally knocks you back. Maybe it's not as bad as what it did to me and knocking me on the ground, knocking me out. Maybe for you, it's kind of knocking you on your heels, where you're trying to just get that momentum of life moving forward again. You know, maybe for you, it's a loss of a job or a divorce or something, you know, it's even more extreme in the sense of losing someone who's really close to you through death. You're going, I want a life to begin to move forward. And that's what we're going to look at for a little bit today, is that getting that forward momentum back. And getting that forward momentum back in our life has a lot to do with understanding the power of the resurrection in our everyday life. I look forward to the day that I'm resurrected and I receive my new body and all of that. But I enjoy the power of the resurrection every day. How do we get to that place where we enjoy the power of the resurrection every day? How does it truly shift our momentum of life and allow us to be moving forward in a way that is good and positive again? At Bethel, I believe that when we've articulated our mission statement of living the nothing is impossible life, you cannot live that nothing is impossible life while on your heels. The only way you can live the nothing is impossible life is moving forward. But here's what will always happen when you make a choice to live the nothing is impossible life, is you're going to get to a wall. You're going to get to something that kind of knocks you sideways a little bit. And I think most Americans are this way. We like any kind of good comebacks. And when you're moving forward and you hit something, God is going to help you get back to a forward momentum in life again. And it doesn't matter. You know, we go to the movies. You like a good romance where the guy loses, the girl gets her back. You know, I'm a big Rocky fan. I like Rocky 3 is my favorite. And all the Rockies he's knocked down and gets back up. Life just does that to you. Well, what helps the Christian is the resurrection power allows us to get back up on our feet and begin to move forward again. You see, Jesus demonstrated that the resurrection cannot hold a person down. But in order for that to happen, you'll find what oftentimes happens first is some form of change that happens in our life. We're going to look at three types of change. Now, if you're here this morning and you're going, you know, I really want that forward momentum again in life, whatever that looks like, then I want to encourage you to first really ask yourself the question, what kind of change am I faced with? Because I think there are three kinds of change that every person is faced with. The first kind of change that we're faced with is change that, you know, you want. You want that change. Now, for me, when I was in my early 20s, in fact, I was 21, a friend of mine, Leon, and I went to a map at our work, and we were for a nationwide company, and we said, let's move to Arizona. We were from the state of Washington, and he said, let's go move to Arizona for 6 months, and then let's go on to Philadelphia, and let's just go ahead and travel around. Well, I never made it any further than Arizona. Get to Arizona, and the reason I went to Arizona is I wanted to be able to live my life the way I wanted to live it without anybody looking over my shoulder, mainly my parents. Well, I get down there, and I get going through life, and I found myself single and in a business that was failing, and I wanted change again. And it was at that place where I wanted change in my own life that caused me to turn and say, you know what? I need the momentum of my life to change here. And actually, that's how I ended up coming to Christ. I actually made a deal when I came to Christ. I said, I'll come and I'll serve you if you bring me a wife. And he brought me a great, wonderful wife that, you know, has stuck with me through thick and thin and all that stuff. And God's faithful there. But that was a change that I wanted. Of course, then there's the change that we need. Change what we need becomes a little bit more difficult. A number of years ago when my mom had a heart attack, I remember laying on the floor, just kicking back, and I could feel my own heart. And I kind of decided I wanted a life change. I didn't want to go through what my mom went through. My family has a history of heart disease, so I decided I was going to take up the life of exercise because it was the change that I needed. I mean, I needed to make sure that my heart was pumping constantly. You ever decide that you're going to take up a life of exercise? Actually, what I was going to do was take up a life of diet and exercise and just chose on the exercise. And I'll never forget, I went to the gym and I'm lifting weights. And, you know, if you're here and you're a weightlifter, God bless you. I don't understand you because I would there and I'd lift weights going, this has got to be quite possibly the most boring thing on the planet. As I'm thinking that, all of a sudden God speaks to me. And not audibly, but I think as loud as any other time I've heard him. And he says, when are you going to use this gym for my glory? And I went, now? And he goes, go learn that sport. And in this little court was this guy throwing this ball. And what I didn't know that I have a lot of Labrador in me. So I go into this room with four walls, and we throw this ball around, and wherever the ball goes, I just kind of go after it, you know? And so there's that part of me. But what I found was, well, there was a change I needed. God knew the change that not only I needed and wanted, he actually moved me into a place that I would enjoy it. You see, change has to be more than just something we decide to do. You know, it doesn't matter if you decide that you're going to exercise, you're going to diet, or you're going to quit smoking, or you're going to be a nicer person, you're going to be a better husband, better wife, better parent, whatever it is. We make these decisions, but until God gets involved, we actually end up falling short. We end up being, not enjoying this process of change, so it oftentimes doesn't stick with us. And then there's the change that we just have to deal with. Now, you know, now that I've gotten into my 20s, I find that my body doesn't quite respond. You don't assume I was talking about age, did you? My body doesn't respond like it used to. In fact, what I find is that the recovery time after exerting myself in exercise seems to get longer and longer. Used to be, you know, I'd get out of bed and it was the first two or three steps you'd kind of creak with, you know. Say amen if you track with me. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh, man. But now it's like texting like 10:30 in the morning. You know, five cups of coffee. And the reality is, I just got to deal with this change that's going on in my body. And your change, you know, whether it's in your body or it's just somewhere in life, you got to deal with it. I mean, I know that some people, they try to run from that change. Some people, they try to, you know, they drink their way or smoke their way out of that change and just try to act like it's not there. But reality is, there's just some change that we have to deal with. But it's always at this point of change. whether it's point, if it's change that we want or we need or we have to deal with, that God seems to interact with us. It's this intersection between the change we want or need or just have to go through, that God comes in his power and makes something actually quite beautiful if we'll recognize it, if we'll walk in it, and we'll be strengthened by it. It's at that place that the resurrection power actually comes in and does this beautiful transformation process. Notice with me for a minute here in Ephesians, the first chapter. It's a couple verses. Paul's writing here, he says, speaking of Jesus, his incomparable great power, his incredible power, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Paul recognized that the moment you came to Jesus, the moment you said yes to Jesus, I'll follow you. I'll make you my life partner. Wherever you go, I'll go. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. The moment you did that, there was a power that began to work in you. It expresses itself this way. The moment that happened, all of a sudden you find that the sky is bluer, the grass is greener, life looks better. Because now, all of a sudden, you're able to see life differently than you've ever seen it before. What the resurrection ultimately proves for any of us is that this power has the ability to change us. It has the power to change us not only from a sinful person to a righteous person in God's sight, but it has the ability to change us in the areas that we want, that we need, and the things that we have to deal with. You see, I wish that I could just, you know, be the master puppeteer of life, at least when in the scope of what goes on around me. If I could just, you know, puppeteer my wife, you know, dear, here's what I want you to do. Do this. And she did that. Wouldn't that be nice? You guys are chicken. You're just chicken. Let me tell you something. I was so impressed this morning, by the way. I was impressed. I'm back there in the kitchen, and I was in a Texas man conversation. You know, we've got man's breakfast coming this Saturday. But I was in a Texas man. You know what a Texas man conversation is? They were talking about how much brisket you could cook at one time. That's a Texas man conversation. But let me tell you something, men. Don't leave me hanging. You'd like it as much as I if you could just tell your wife to do this, and she would do that. Moving along, since I'm getting nowhere there, there's just part of us that would like to be able to control life that way. I just want life to work the way I want it to work. But it didn't work that way. What you find is that when the resurrection power begins to move in your life, at those places of change, whether it's a change in your marriage, or it's a change in your family, or it's a change in your business, in your workplace, whatever that change is at, whether it's you want it, you need it, or it just happens to come your way, that's the place that God will intersect with you, and you can not only be changed, but what you'll find is you can be a change agent. All of a sudden, you can begin to see change happen through you. I want to go back and look at that scripture again. There's a couple words in there that's very important. At first, he says twice about this power. And this power is not some abstract power out there. There's this power that's working in us. This power that is alive and active. When is the last time, and here's a question for you to ponder for a moment, when's the last time when you were in a situation where you couldn't control it? It was out of your scope of ability to be able to change it, but you knew it needed to change. Not for your own comfort, but you knew it was just wrong. And you turned to God and you said, God, would you just cause your resurrection power to come into that situation? Would you cause your resurrection power to come into a body and see it healed? Would you cause your resurrection body to come in the middle of a relationship? You see, there is no greater power than the power that raised Christ from the dead. I think this is going to happen. I don't know. This, obviously, I've not experienced it. You haven't either. But I think right before when Jesus comes back and the archangel blows the trumpet and the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, I think... If you've ever been around lightning, and they say that if you get lightning gets too close to you, you can actually begin to feel it in your skin and your hair, right? I think that right before or right as those dead people are beginning to rise up, we who are Christians are going to feel that immense power. There's going to be a power surge that's going to hit this planet like no other. I mean, just when Jesus was raised, the people that were in the graves around, they rose up. And they started walking around. Can you imagine what that was like for them? But I think that power is something that we're going to experience. But I think one of the things that will allow us to recognize that power is to begin to pray for that power even now. Begin to say, God, I want you. Because see, in this portion of Scripture, he says, it's toward us. So as that power is moving toward us, that first change thing, you want change to happen in your life? Learn to allow the resurrection power to really change you. We're going to approach that here in a minute. But I think the longer we're Christians, and really especially a Pentecostal Christians, is that it's now it's working toward us. Let's allow that to begin to reflect from us in the lives that are around us. If we're around people that are unchurched people, they should not only know we're Christians, we should be able to, when they have a problem, run to it and say, you know what? There's a power that can solve that. It's the resurrection power. Let me pray. You should put God on display like that. Why not? God is well able. It's already working toward us. Let it begin to work through us. So how do we get to that place, though? How do we get that place where we literally can walk in that place of change? This is where we come to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to take just a couple minutes here this morning. Matthew chapter 28, in that first verse, says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Can I stop just a minute? I just feel the Lord pressing something in this portion of Scripture that I hadn't thought about. I really think this might be for a person. You're here this morning and you're faced with a really incredibly difficult situation. And as you're listening to me speak, you, in your own mind, you're saying, well, that sounds good, and I've heard this all before, but I don't know if that could really happen in my life. I'll tell you something. If you will go this week and you will say before the Lord, I want your resurrection power to move here, I believe the Lord is going to move in a way that you'd never imagined. But before that moment, in this scripture, before that moment, there was something that happened. I think we need to be aware of these kinds of things. You'll notice that it says that there was a great earthquake. If you study earthquakes in the Bible, what you'll find is what precedes every spiritual breakthrough is an earthquake. See, we don't think of the earth as alive, but the earth is alive. It's groaning. It's desiring to be released from the curse that it is under. Jesus, when he was on the grave and it was finished, earthquake, forgiveness came. First day of the week, resurrection, earthquake. Paul and Silas were in jail. There was an earthquake that took place. And they were able to go into Europe, and the gospel began to spread literally in the northern hemisphere. When you are going this week and you begin to say to the Lord, and I really believe it's a prophetic word for someone, when you look at a situation and you say, God, I want your resurrection power to go here because you know this is what needs to happen. This marriage needs to be restored, or this body needs to be healed, whatever it is. Expect an earthquake. I don't know what that earthquake is going to look like. But I've never been in an earthquake that I've ever went, wow, that was the most exciting thing. I want to go through it again. When that ground's shaking underneath you, you tend to go, well, I don't want to go back there. Before Mount St. Helens went off when I was a kid, and there were earthquakes that were happening all the time. Thank God I was never in a big one. I never want to be in a big one. But I know that I've been in earthquakes where there's relationships involved, where it seems like everything is just shaking and moving around, and all of a sudden I can't find my own footing. That's not the time to give up. That's not the time to go, I'm on the ground and I'm not getting back up. No, that's the time to lift your hands and rejoice before the Almighty God, because behind your earthquake is going to come an incredible spiritual breakthrough. Let's go just a little bit further here. Verse 3 says, his countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him, and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. He said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. if we're going to work through to a place where we actually can see a momentum shift in our life, that really starts with us making a choice to stop looking in the dead places. We have to look in the right places. Now, I know that for me, you know what my dead places look like? I see my dead places every time I look in the mirror. I look and I go, you know what? I think I can solve this. I think I could handle this problem. Those two Marys, they were looking in a place Jesus wasn't at. They were looking in the wrong place. Maybe for you, the place that you look when things are in trouble, when you're looking for a change, maybe you look to your finances. Maybe you look to your spouse. Maybe you look to your kids. Maybe you look to your parents, whatever. Don't want to look in the wrong place because Jesus isn't in those places. Our tendency is to look where the things that are familiar to us. You see, for those ladies, what was familiar with them is when somebody is dead, you go to where dead people are. That's the grave. But Jesus wasn't there. Reality is Jesus is the only one with the power to help us with that change. I want to look just a little bit further, though, because you find that in that, it's more than just looking in the right place. You really have to look for the angels in your life. Now, it was really obvious to them. Wouldn't it be nice if the angels were really obvious to us like it was for them? You ever felt that way? Never? You're leaving me hanging again. Come on. You ever read the Bible and go, why couldn't it be that obvious to me? Yeah. Why doesn't God speak that obvious to me? Well, the reality is we have to look for it. Here's the cool thing about angels. There are true angelic spiritual beings. But then this room is filled with angels. And I'm looking at them right now. You don't have wings. Some of you glow. Some of you glow less because you have more hair on your head. The body of Christ is filled with angels. Who is an angel? An angel in Scripture is somebody who brings a message. And for Mary, the angel pointed her toward Jesus. You want to know who the angels are in your life? The angels in your life don't try to just, you know, make everything all nicety-nice for you. They don't just pat you on the back, say, it's going to be okay. A true angel in your life is going to point you toward Jesus. They're going to say, if you really want the answer to that problem, here's where you need to go, because this is where you're going to find Jesus. You see, our tendency is to go to the person who gave us the encouraging words last time. But then God's got these people wonderfully peppered throughout our life that, Lord, if we'll begin to look, all of a sudden, we're going to go, ah, that's right. Recently, an angel that was in my life went to be with Jesus. His name was Oliver Swaim. Oliver Swaim was the pastor that was preaching when I went into the back of that church in Mesa, Arizona, looking for a change in my life. And I said, I'm going to commit my life to Jesus. I didn't become Assemblies of God for any other reason than a phone book. And I recognized that Assemblies of God name. And so I went into an Assembly of God church. But I met a guy that when I was down and when I was broken and I was hurt, he constantly moved, and I was talking after I got married, he's constantly moving me back to Jesus. We got, you know, I got a couple getting ready to get married. They, you know, I always ask them, what do you look to get out of good marriage? Everybody says the same thing. I want to be happy. Well, marriage isn't about making you happy. It's about making you holy. And as you move into marriage, you find that you are broken in more ways than you possibly imagine. Listen, I was raised in a family where I never, not once, saw my parents fight. So what did I assume in my pea brain? Well, married people don't fight. So a moment my wife started fighting with me, my mind was just going on tilt. I couldn't understand it. So I needed an angel in my life who would help direct me back to Jesus so Jesus would come in the middle of my marriage. One of the things that I really find challenging is when people think that they can do their Christianity apart from the people of God. This makes no sense to me. For it's the people of God that God has given so that they might continually point us back toward who God is when we're struggling, when we're challenged, when we want true change in our life. And I know there's a lot of negatives when it comes to the body of Christ, because, listen, there's no perfect church, there's no perfect people, and if you find the perfect church, the moment you get there, it's no longer perfect. So it's just a reality of life. Go on just a little bit further, though. Find that angel pointed the lack of Jesus here, but began to point her in another direction. Verse 6 says, he is not here, for for he has risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. I'll just read verses 9 and 10. It says, and as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. If we're going to move through this place of change and really get into a place where the momentum of life is moving forward again, we're going to need to get our strength from Jesus. We got to stop trying to get our strength through anything other than Jesus himself. Now, this is, again, one of these statements that sounds really good because we've heard it a million times if you've gone to church very long. And yet so few Christians really know how to get their strength from Jesus Christ. They say, well, I read the Bible. Yeah, that's good. You should read the Bible. I pray. But they didn't read the Bible and pray. Do you know what they did? They fell right at his feet. If you want strength from Jesus, you're going to have to learn to fall to his feet on more than just Sunday morning. Let me tell you something. If you fall to Jesus' feet Monday through Saturday, you'll be so on fire when you come in here. You'll be like this one candle that comes and sits in the middle of the room. Everybody else is going to start getting close going, I got to get lit by that person. You see, it's the people who come into church and they're stumps. So they've not worshipped Jesus throughout the week. They haven't found strength. So what do? They come to church hoping to find that strength. And you should find strength at church. Don't get me wrong. I want to make sure that you find strength at church. But if you're really going to see the momentum of life shift and you move forward, you have to be in the habit of falling at Jesus' feet. That means on Monday morning, begin to worship him. Begin to sing to him. Begin to declare your praise to him. Begin to tell him how great he is. Begin to do it on Tuesday afternoon, on Thursday at lunchtime. The nice thing is, with all of these hand-free devices, you could do this in your car in the middle of rush hour traffic, and they'll just think you're talking on the phone. I mean, if you want to be a YouTube sensation, I suppose you could record yourself doing that, I suppose. But begin to tell God how great he is. The moment you begin to worship God, the moment you begin to lift up the name of Jesus above everything else, all of a sudden, the power of God begins to move toward you. And you begin to move in a dynamic of strength and power like no other. This is, by the way, is for the Pentecostals, why speaking in tongues is so incredibly important. For when I speak in tongues, I am speaking to God, but more than speaking to God, I'm declaring praises and adoration to the Most High God. And when I do that beyond my own ability, I'm able to praise him in a greater dynamic than I could ever do on my own. And as I do that, I'm flooded with his resurrection power moving toward me. Obviously, I've got a long ways to go because Peter did it so much that the power that was working toward him began to reflect off onto his shadow so that his shadow healed people as it walked by. Could you imagine going into work, having just prayed in tongues and worshiped God for such an extended period of time that when you walked near someone, they actually just had to move away from you? When we get strength from Jesus, not only are we changed, but we become these incredible change agents. But it starts by just simply saying, Lord, I want that resurrected power moving toward me. I want to walk in that dynamic, not just today, not just when I die and am raised again. I want to start walking in it now. You know, the early movement of the Pentecostal movement in America, they walked in that resurrection power. I'm going to ask Darren to come. But as they moved in that resurrection power, they were change agents. Christianity is exploding outside of the United States. Why? Because people know how to get their strength from Jesus. They don't get it from the perfect song. They don't get it from a radio station. They don't get it online. They get it because they themselves fall at Jesus' feet and get strength from him. The moment they step up from Jesus' feet, it doesn't matter what in life has hit them. doesn't matter what in life has knocked them down, they're able to go forward in life with a strength and a power like no one else. Here's what we're going to do.